kick. Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. Call it hour two, 15 minutes in. And this is a visit that is a little on the bittersweet side, and not just for me and for listeners, but for Kieran too. He described the decision to retire from the training side as a tough decision, and at the same time, it's hard not to be excited for the situation that Kieran finds himself in, with Richard DePass retiring and Kieran, who had represented jocks before years ago, stepping in to that opportunity. And Kieran McLaughlin joins us. Kieran, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Is that?
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. Now I got you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And the first priority, of course, is to check in on the family and you know how everybody is faring under these circumstances. You and Letty and Aaron and Ryan.
Yes, thanks. Everything's going well, Ryan. Is in our Long Island house and working from home. And Aaron is in Lexington working from home for the Breeders' Cup. And Letty and I are in Florida.
Well, is there some video surveillance for Ryan in the house in New York? Who's monitoring that?
Yeah, he's working from home, so all is well.
I love it. Well, and you know, the circumstance, Kieran, obviously, with the situation that is keeping racing going, you know, Gulfstream was going to run pandemic or no pandemic. You know, being able to stay, you know, in Florida and continue on forward, in some ways, this, you know, this is a pretty manageable situation for you.
Yes, it is. I mean, I feel terrible for everybody in the horse industry that aren't getting race, and I hope everybody's staying safe. Difficult times, but I did take a pretty good time to retire in April 1st. It's gone well for me so far.
Let's do the career appreciation part here, and I guess we work backwards a little bit, because everybody read with interest at your frustration. You were one of the outspoken horsemen who talked about all the difficulties that the New York outfits were encountering, whether it was workman's comp and then this just relentless pressure from the labor department that seemed to really victimize the horsemen in New York.
Yeah, so workman's comp it's expensive, but it was, you have to work your day rate and just pay it, even if it's expensive. The department, on the other hand, was very unpredictable and very difficult to apply to all the regulations and do things properly. We tried to, and ended up costing us $300,000 fines. And hey, we settled, moving on. And actually, I'm just settling the federal fine this week, finally, too. And it was much better, down to like $15,000. So I got lucky there, but we never thought we could have done anything wrong. This was little tiny things that the lawyer forgot to tell us about or change. So I'm happy to get all that behind me and move forward. And again, like I said, I feel for all my trainer friends out there, and hopefully they get started back, because they need to make the commissions to make money in New York and in racing anywhere from coast to coast. The day rate is just trying to pay your help and break even, and you need to make commissions to make any money.
Well, certainly on your end, when it comes to that, the career that you enjoyed, Karen, is, I mean, it's enviable, not just among your contemporaries, but I mean, what you accomplished in really a relatively short period of time, it's one of the really outstanding careers that any horseman, you know, could have crafted.
Well, I'm very lucky. A great, you know, team of people first to work with me. Obviously, when you're training, it's a team of people. And then the owners providing us with outstanding horses was great, too. And we were able to see the world, traveling back and forth from Dubai, raced in Japan twice, and in Canada a few times, and all over America. So it was great racing and great to see the world. And like I said, we were very lucky to have great clients. And I feel better now, a month after retiring, basically, that all the horses and people are doing well elsewhere.
Your experience, talk a little bit about the career arc, Karen, because not everybody knows all of the backstory, and there's very few trainers that, you know, hang a shingle and are instantly blessed with 30 horses and a couple of stake runners and all kinds of positive prospects. And you could even, it is Del Carroll's birthday, so we got to fit him in. Talk about your early decision making, you know, leaving college and you know, heading to the racetrack.
Well, early in my life, I left college and went to the racetrack. I just had the passion and loved the horse industry, and luckily, each year, different doors opened and closed, and a big break was getting on with Wayne Lucas in 1985, and I was there 7 years, and then took Chris Antley's book from 1992 to November 1993, and I went to Dubai then, so I didn't have to struggle with starting with 30 horses and hope the owners paid me every month. I was very fortunate to go to Dubai and work privately for the Maktoum family in 1993, and then in 1995, the summer, coming back with horses to New York, and did that every year thereafter. I just missed 1994, but we were very lucky to be able to race in New York and bring horses back from Dubai every spring, and that's why I didn't run in the Kentucky Derby hardly at all for those 10 years, because we didn't have horses to qualify. We were in Dubai, and we didn't come back usually until April in the spring. But I was very fortunate to have great owners and great relationships with people and owners. I had an owner call me this morning just to chat about a few things, and it's just great to have those relationships in our business, because that's what it's all about.
Well, and over the years, you know, my time doing this show, a lot of it really overlaps with you know, your tremendous career, over 1,500 wins. And, you know, there's virtually every, you know, every stake horse that we could think of that, you know, that you and I discussed over the years, and, you know, learned so much from, you know, the way you were approaching things and you know, the way you were developing horses. Talk a little bit about, you know, what you leaned on. You mentioned D. Wayne. I know you spent time with Dell as well. You know, what along the way, the things that you learned and the things that you applied with the horses. And then, of course, you know, Sheikh Mohammed and Sheikh Hamdan, and you know, you've always acknowledged, how you distilled what you've learned into, you know, creating a racehorse.
Yes, I mean, again, back to the early days, got married when I was working for Dale Carroll, Letty and I, in 1983. And we've been married for 36 years, and it's gone well. Even though we're in quarantine now, we're still not fighting or no problems. We're still married. Just kidding. Everything is great. And we worked for a few different people, and you learn from everybody. But the big break, obviously, was with Wayne and then with the Mocktoom family. And really, you know, I would have to give credit to the blacksmith, my help, the vet, the owners, everybody, because it just was we tried to get the best of every position that we could, whether it was the best assistance to blacksmiths, to vets, to grooms, exercise riders, very important, jockeys in the afternoon. So it was a great team, and I was very lucky to have a lot of the best in the business to work for, with owners and blacksmiths and owners, vets, and help mainly. So it was great, and the horses were most important.
One thing that was notable early on, with when you look at the stake winners, you obviously dealt with the kinds of horses you were being offered, and you know, the ones that were sent to you, and I think it's really notable that when you look at your career, you had great dirt sprinters, you had great classic horses, you had great handicap horses, you had top turf horses. There's no one area, you know, that you were better at than others. You seem to just, if you had a good horse with aptitude, male or female, you got the most out of them.
Yeah, we were, again, it was nice that we were able to pick out good spots for the horses, and the owners always, you know, cooperated well and had their input, and my help helped. But it was great to be able to pick out the right spots, and hopefully, you know, you make some mistakes along the way. But we were very fortunate to have top quality horses. Obviously, the Mocktooms, the breeding is second to none, and they purchased nice horses also. So we were very lucky to have the quality of horses to put in those stake races.
Talk about some of the early ones. I mean, everybody, you know, if I go through, you know, distance and surface, you know, people are going to think about Invasor and Henny Hughes and whoever the biggest names are. But talk about some of the, you know, the early successes, including your first stake winner, which was Dumani.
Yeah, Dumani was a really neat horse by Danzig that we raced in Dubai, and we actually won a nice race with him in Japan and then brought him to America, and he won the Shadwell Mile twice, but it wasn't the Shadwell Mile then. It was the Kingland Mile, or a prep for the Breeders' Cup. So he was a really neat horse and meant a lot to us. Carawan was a neat horse by Mr. Prospector that won a greatest stake early at Belmont and ended up being a stallion at Shadwell. So those early days were great. Closing Argument, being second in the Kentucky Derby, was in 1995-96 in there. So it was, you know, great times and important times in the early days to have those owners and horses, which they weren't all the Mocktooms. Joe Allen was very supportive in the early days. A lot of people don't know this, but we actually trained Warfront for Joe Allen as a two-year-old and brought him to Florida, and he had a little issue, and we stopped on him, and then he moved into Allen Jerkins along with the other eight horses we had for Joe. But we remain good friends, and we stay in touch now, and those were great times back then. He was one of my first outside owners that gave me horses in 2003 and even back in the 90s, late 90s. So it was great to have all the support from the different owners.
I want to mention another that might be you know, might not pop in a lot of people's minds, but was Lunar Sovereign your first grade one winner?
Yes, it was at Belmont.
In the Man of War.
Yes, he was our first grade one winner.
And who had him at that point?
At Belmont, and we weren't all spread out yet, but he was at Belmont and or Saratoga with Neil and Trish and myself with Artie at Belmont. So, he was our first grade one winner.
Rich Migliore aboard, no?
Yeah, we rode him, and he actually won our first stake in America on a filly called Grafton at Delaware Park. It was a 50,000 back in the day, and that was fun too, because I've never actually been to Delaware myself, but Neil and Richie actually took a helicopter over there because it was Labor Day, I believe, and that was our first stake win in America.
Yeah, and another grade one winner that couldn't have been too far after Lunar Sovereign was, and speaking of Joe Allen, was Volga, won the E.P. Taylor.
Yeah, she won the E.P. Taylor. Nice story. She now, I see she has foals racing with Suge. But, yeah, she was very talented filly and had a few different trainers that did well with her. But, yeah, that was fun also.
Did you have her? She ran in the Breeders' Cup.
I'm not gonna recall that for sure, because Clement had her, but also and a couple other people. So I'm not sure about that.
All right, I'm gonna pull her up. I'm curious. That was also Mig. So Mig won your first two grade ones.
Yeah, there you go. He was riding a lot for us.
I love it. And, of course, around that same time, you know, some of the horses that then became, you know, I think you're so much more familiar, you know, Seattle Fitz and Randaroo, Mustanfar, you know, this started to be, you know, 2002, 3, 4. You know, now you're starting to really hit stride. And then the main track horses, Henny Hughes, you know, certainly, you know, That seemed to be, you know, kind of the wheelhouse. And you mentioned Closing Argument, Kieran. I probably bring this up to you too much, but I'll never forget seeing you. You watched the race in that little ante room, right, with the little TV in the tunnel?
No, that particular year I was watching up in the second floor, third floor with my son and my Aaron and Letty. We got separated, so we were apart when it actually ran the race, but then we soon got together right after that. But we thought we had it won at the eighth pole.
Well, and that's what you said. I mean, you said I thought he had it won. I thought we were going to win it. And
yeah.
That was as you know, and I'm sure at that time, you know, the expectation. Then, of course, you know, when Jazzle, you know, comes along the next year, right? That would have been the next year, 2006. And with several classic candidates. I mean, talk about how your approach to the Triple Crown season kind of evolved. And you had obviously the experience with D-Wayne that, you know, it helped you format it.
Yeah, like I said before, it was tough to have the winter racing and foundation into the 2 to 3 year olds until we came back to America in 2003. So we didn't have a lot of any Triple Crown runners until then. But you know, a lot was strategy on getting points or earnings back then, graded earnings.
Sure.
So you had to place the horses in spots to qualify, and we tried to do that well again, and it worked out for us to get there with a few of them.
Talk about some more of the big races, the big spots, and you know the rain that pelted Monmouth and the Breeders' Cup win of La Hadoud, you know, over that soft course, and you know, some of the other big moments that you know that stay with you you know, as you look back on, I mean, I haven't even, I can't even count up. How many, do you know how many graded stake wins you've got?
No, I didn't. I'm not sure about that, but, I'm not sure. The list is long, which is nice, but, yeah, La Hadou winning the Breeders' Cup at Monmouth was special. Obviously, Invasor winning the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Dubai World Cup was the highlight of our career for sure, because we're very close to Sheikh Hamdan, the owner of Shadwell, and to take a horse back there and win the World's Richest Race with him sitting there in the stands was very, very special. Frosted, you know, winning the Met Mile was a wow race. Unbelievable horse. Cavorting, we did well for Stone Street, winning grade one. And so a lot of, you know, Wedding Toast, It's Tricky, some of our best fillies we had over the years. We had a lot of nice ones and a lot to talk about and remember.
Who among the, I know this is one of those stupid questions, but it has to be asked. Who were your personal favorites? The ones that, you know, that you really, that you got close to and, you know, whose careers, you know, you were particularly, you particularly enjoyed being associated with, you know, especially now in retrospect.
Yeah. Invasor would definitely be at the top of that list always. And then Frosted was a very neat horse to be around. Often, you know, and Jazzle was a real character and nice to be around. Cairo Prince was a very nice horse and fun to be around. It's Tricky had her own little issues and personality. It was difficult at times, but it was also great to you know, have her in the barn all the time. Trap Shot was a really gentleman to be around, a real classy tappet. Because some of them can be very difficult, but he was a really neat horse. Just Whistle Dixie has turned out to be a great broodmare, which is nice to see. And she was, we won five in a row with her up until, you know, her 3-year-old spring. But she was a very nice horse, and it's great to see some of them produce after you train them. So she was always fun.
Who among the horses, and this is not an easy question, two different parts of it. Who among the horses do you feel is maybe a bit of a favorite that, you know, might not have won a stake, you know, or was, you know, a stake place type, you know, a personal favorite that isn't among the, you know, the elite star list of the horses you managed?
Well, a few horses that we purchased in Dubai and brought back to America and did well with. One of them is a great story. N-O-W-R-A-S-S was a real difficult horse to train, and we used to watch him at Godolphin schooling at the gate and being really bad, and we watched him because we were real close to their track. And we came back one November, and I asked Simon Christopher, what happened to that crazy horse at the gate? I don't see him anymore. He said, oh, we retired him. I said, where'd he go? And he said, he's at the retirement center here in Dubai. And I said, can I buy him? And he said, you can have him and take him to America if you want. He's very difficult. I said, no, I want to purchase him cheap, and I have a plan for him. And he said, okay. So we bought him for $2,800. Neil, my brother, and I bought him, and we brought him back to America. We had a plan, and it doesn't always work out this way, but in January or February, we bought a blank nomination to the Claiming Crown, and he was a really nice horse. He had won like 3 races previously, but then he was too difficult for them to train, and he was real bad at the gate. So we started training them, and Trish would get on the pony with him and work with him, and we trained him in the back over at Saratoga in the parking lot, and we bought the blank nomination. You didn't have to give a name. So we had to get him eligible, and we brought him back to Belmont, to America, and ran him for 17.5 to get eligible. And he ran fourth on the dirt, and we put him back on the turf and won for $35,000, and then 50 or 60,000, he won again. and then we ran him in a two other van. He just got beat, finished second, and then we went to the Claim and Crown. We by then filled out the name, and we won the Emerald, the turf race for horses who had started for 25 or less on the turf, and it was a $125,000 stake at Park, and Neil and I owned the horse, so we did really well with the horse, and the exercise rider did very well. Everybody had to work hard with the horse, and it all worked out, and we ended up taking him back to Dubai and running a big race, but not successfully, but we had a lot of fun with him, and he wasn't a kind horse to be around, but a great story.
That is tremendous, and I vaguely remember. Give me the spelling again.
N-O-W-R-A-S-S. Bernie Dalton deserves a lot of credit, too. A great exercise rider for us over the years, and he rides races now over fences, and he's a very, very good horseman. And he helped us with the horse training. He was able to get him to train. And we trained him in the parking lot down in, on the Oklahoma side of Saratoga. Neil and Trish did and did a great job with him.
Oh, that's tremendous. And
he might have
and those are
parentheses. So if you look him up, it's an hour ass. He might have a GB in parentheses.
It does. It does. He was a son of Baring. And
yeah.
I tell you, he ended up winning 7 out of 18 for $300,000.
Yes, we did well with him, and it was fun because he was a really difficult horse. So sometimes that's fun to you know think outside the box. And we knew we would get him into the gate crew in America and in New York and Florida. They are not going to let a horse not go in the gate and run in the afternoon very often. So we had to work with him a lot at the gate. But it all worked out.
That is tremendous. He was actually, you also got, not only did you win that Emerald, but you ended up getting him graded stake placed because he was second in the Kentucky Cup at Kentucky Downs.
Yeah. And we had another horse we bought, similar timing was from Dubai called A Breeze, A-B-R-E-E-Z-E. And we bought him, he was a 7-year-old, 6-year-old, Gelding by Danzig, and we bought him out of the cell over there in Dubai, and he went on to we lost him for claiming $100,000 to Scott Lake, and we also earned like $150,000 or $200,000 with him. So those were some fun times to buy horses from Dubai or bring them back here and do well with them.
The tremendous and the satisfaction of a you know working with a you know a problem horse. There's a lot of satisfaction in that.
Yeah, correct.
A few people, some names have come up, Karen, and you know, we got to talk about you know Neil and Artie, you know, and I'm gonna forget his name, but you're the longtime assistant you had with the thick dark mustache.
That's a good question. We have Neil and Artie were the main ones, and Doug Watson was the assistant in Dubai, and he's
right, trained
there now, doing very well. But Neil and Trish are on their way to Saratoga as we speak, and hopefully they land on their feet. They have a couple of things going on, and Artie is up at Saratoga, and he was with me for 22 years and did a great job, and so we had a great team and a lot of fun over the years.
And you know, you mentioned Rick Nichols. I think of him, and you know Jimmy Bell, and you know there's so much of a family, you know, type of an atmosphere around you and your barn.
Yes, and then even Buddy's sister, Lisa Walker, she went with me to Dubai in 1993 to start with me there as an assistant. So that was fun because when you go into a different country and you don't know the surroundings, it's nice that I had Mia and Lisa, both family, with me. And Artie ended up going at that time. We had 7 of us, I think, flew over in November 1993 from America, a couple exercise riders, And it was great to have that, you know, core group of people to start with, because it was pretty wild. We got there and ended up with 35 horses that were retired or were elsewhere, and we had to start over and start from scratch with just horses. And we got lucky and got going, and then we got better and better horses the longer we were there.
Let me ask you about going through, you know, going through the inventory over the years, and a horse that either, you know, might have gotten hurt or just a bad luck horse. I mean, everybody gets them, you know, that just nothing. They got talent and nothing goes right. And, you know, if things had broken a different way, who do you think about that you wish it had, you know, more opportunity to show what a good horse they were?
I really, you know, I try to always be positive and think forward, and it's hard for me to look back and say how many we had some probably that were very talented in their early days that we thought were going to be the big horse, and it didn't work out for one reason or another. So, you know, we were second in some big, big races yesterday, reading the TDM about Kerbon getting beat by Bricks and Mortar on Derby Day last year. Two years ago, just the last couple of jumps, I thought we had him. But when you look back, what a great effort it was and who beat him. So, you know, we had several of those, but it's hard to go back and look at the, you know, those type, because they, you know, I don't remember them that much and say, shoot, I wish
right.
that happened. This happened. I mean, it's hard to say.
You mentioned, and you made me think of something else. You mentioned Doug Watson and the relationship, obviously, with having, you know, Neil and Artie is different. But who among young people that came through the barn for you that might have groomed and might have, you know, might have hot walked? Think about some of the human connections that you developed.
Yeah, well, most of them, funny enough, were Spanish and still stayed with us because, you know, even though the governor called me a thief or took their money, I was very good to work for and took care of my people, so they were with me forever and ever. The last few years, Stu Hampson was an assistant for me, very, very good young man from Lexington, that is now the assistant to Jonathan Thomas at Tampa and doing well. And for, you know, he's a really good kid and with a Godolphin Flying Star, and he will do well in the future. And Gatewood Bell was with me for like 2 years and just, you know, hanging out and kind of a foreman slash helper and a great person, wanted to just be with us. And that worked out well. He's very successful bloodstock agent now in Lexington.
Good ones. Those are all good ones. And Doug Watson as well. You know, Kieran, you get to this juncture, and you know, to have the timing work out the way it did, and Richie DePass, you know, getting ready to, you know, to retire himself. Talk about how that came about, and you know, the opportunity to take over Louie.
Yes, you know, he had kept threatening to retire, and then finally it happened, and it just was worked out well timing-wise. And when Louis asked me if I was interested, I was very happy, and Richard both, and it just worked out great. He's a very talented rider and a really, really good person, and has a wife and three kids, and just a great person to work with, and great jockey in the afternoon, and strong finisher, and it started off very well. Obviously, you know, we're doing well with a lot of top riders not here, but he's a top rider with the best of them. So hopefully we move on to New York when they open and continue with our success.
Obviously for Saez last year, and at what point exactly did you and Richie, you know, kind of come together on this? How far back, you know, did it develop or percolate?
Yeah, it's hard to say because it was back and forth, and we both weren't sure what was going to happen. But, you know, he had probably mentioned it, you know, 6 months ago at first, and you kind of looked like, you know, you wondered if he was serious or would it be something I'd be interested in. So he definitely mentioned it quite a long time ago at first, but then it just went on, and we kept doing what we were doing. And then just the last few months, it worked out well.
Unbelievable. And you know, it was obviously a it continues, frankly, to be, you know, this past calendar year for Rich and for Louis, tumultuous, I guess, is, you know, is the best way to describe what's gone on since Derby till, you know, to most recently and you know, Saudi Arabia when it comes to riding maximum security. You know, do you sense in getting to know Saez and, you know, you'd ridden him plenty, you know, even before this came together. But how tough has it been with you observing? How much has it, you know, how much has it weighed on Louis, all the tumult?
I don't think it's weighed on him that much at all. I mean, as you see, he loves riding, and he would like to ride 13 races if there's 13 races, and he has a great attitude, and he's a really good family person, and his wife and the kids are most important to him. And I don't talk much about the past. We go forward and enjoying our success together, and it's strange times right now that he's not allowed to work horses on the backside. I'm not allowed to go to the backside. And all these things that are going on are so strange. And we're doing the draw on the phone, on a conference call, that it'll be different once we are able to do those things and spend more time together. But I speak to him every day, and he's just a great person. And I don't hear anything about the past, nor do I bring it up again about the negatives at all.
Well, he's been a personal favorite of mine. He's won races for Gary Siaka and I and our stable, and I think he's a huge talent. The guy that first brought him around, at least for me, was David Fox, and I can remember, you know, being at Aqueduct on a Gotham day, and David and I watched the Comley, and he had brought him up from Florida, and he made a move, Kieran, up the rail on, well, her name was Summer something. I want to say Summer Hit. And I said, wow. I said, how about that? And David said, this kid's going to be an absolute star.
Yeah, that's neat. I speak to David often too down here, trying to get him on a horse for him and win a race for David. He does a very good job. And yeah, he has a lot of people that like him, and it's great right now because it's in such demand.
Are you keeping an eye out for a bug, for a second rider, or how are you handling that part of it?
No, I think I need to concentrate on one jockey, and I have a top one, so I'm not looking elsewhere as a second rider anytime soon.
Kieran McLaughlin, had so many wonderful conversations, and you know, there'll still be plenty of opportunities. I can't thank you enough, not just for this, but, you know, for all, you know, you've always been one of the most generous people that, you know, whenever I've reached out, and I've had, gosh, I should have Casey. I think Casey tries to keep track. I suppose I've talked to you as much as any horseman in the 15 years I've been doing this. And I can't thank you enough, can't laud your just brilliant career and your horsemanship. Excited for you to have this next opportunity, and just wish you, you know, ongoing success.
Steve, thank you very much. And all of us on this side of the fence, whether it's jockeys, jock agents, or trainers, appreciate you promoting our game so well. And we enjoy listening to your show.
Kieran McLaughlin, everybody. And did you have to change your Twitter?
No, my daughter's still running it, and she handles it. She might tweet a little. I mean, that changed a little bit, but no, it's all there.
Well, and for those that are following, you can. I think it's KPM, right? KPM Racing.
KPM Racing, yeah.
KPM Racing Stable. There we go. KPM Racing Stable. You can still follow Kieran McLaughlin. Kieran, thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy, and we'll see you, I suppose, Belmont, depending on the timing, but soon enough. Best wishes.
Thank you very much, and stay safe. Thank you.
Kieran McLaughlin, everybody, and a career that you could go another hour and a half with Kieran. I mean, there's so many horses. We were concentrating on the biggest names and the graded stakes, but you know, he had others. He had, you know, he had New York, some New York bred types, and it's a really an enviable list. I'm glad he mentioned It's Tricky, because she was one that we really enjoyed talking about when she was winning her array of stakes. You know, he mentioned Jazzle. I've told this story before, but when I got very close to Mike Trombetta and the team behind Sweet Northern Saint, and that Derby lead up in the stake barn, barn 48, 49, a lot of the out-of-towners will be congregated. And Saint was on one end, you know, facing the track. And Kieran was in the middle with Jazzle and Flashy Bull. And then a couple of more stalls down was Danny Pites with Steppenwolfer. On the backside was Brother Derek and Barbaro. And I forget who was further down, past Matt's and Barbaro. Barbaro was in the middle facing Longfield. But Jazzle was like maybe two or three empty stalls to the left of Mike's horses. And so, you know, at some point, you know, when you're hanging around all day long, especially, you know, 10 days out, you know, it's pretty quiet. And Jazzle was as sweet a horse to be around. And a little, you know, there was not a lot to him. He was tiny, but he was as sweet as any horse you'll ever be around. Now Saint was a lot tougher, but Saint liked, for whatever reason, he liked me, and his groom was very surprised, because he was not, you know, he was not the easiest horse to get close to. But I would turn my back, and he would put his head on top of my head and just leave it there, just rest it there. Very funny. With a lot of fun. A lot of fun. That's my defining Derby. Here it is, Derby week, and everybody reflecting on their Derby experiences. That, for me, that was like having a horse in the Derby, as close as we got to that team. And you know, out to dinner regularly with, the whole group, the exercise, the terrific exercise rider that Mike's got, very well known in the Mid-Atlantic, Ferdinand, Ernesto Ferdinand, I think Ernesto Ferdinand. I'm going to have to find out. Have to text Trombetta. And Juan Ramirez, who's now with the Maryland Jockey Club, runs the test barn. And it was a great experience. Kieran McLaughlin, one of my absolute, always one of my favorite interviews and, you know, celebrations after all of those successes. Let's take a break. Top of the hour, straight up, 11 o'clock. Let's get Andy Serling in here, get some thoughts from Andy heading into the Arkansas Derby weekend and the rest of the racing festival of the South that will include broadcast Friday and Saturday on Fox. Back after this with Andy, bottom of the hour, Jeremy Plunk, and I think Brian W. Spencer, too, for a little countdown to the crown. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield, the leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darlie America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Sirius XM Sports.